This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. Sharp Money, as we mentioned, NFL coming up on Sunday. So it feels like a Monday that's normal, Samo, as compared to last Monday, where we had to kind of battle through another week of no football. And that is important for a better, because you might get into a little bit of FOMO during last week, where you start firing when you normally wouldn't fire because you just want to get bets in. And I think that's important as we settle in for a week here.
Yeah, I got a call from a friend on Saturday, and he's like, man, I made a mistake. I'm like, what's up, dude? He's like, I just have kind of been betting 5 or 6 Super Bowl bets every day, and I've got almost 55 in the account, and I still have a week till the game. I'm like, dude, you got to chill. I get it. You think you found angles, but you got to take a little bit of a step back. You know, I have 4 bets in the account, bet them early. I have like 7 props I want to talk you through. I think I'm going to probably bet 2 or 3 of these as well. And then I'll probably jump onto a couple unders right before the game kicks off as well. But you got to be careful in these 2 weeks, because people just like, it's the last game. Got to bet everything, Patrick.
Yeah, I understand, and I empathize for your friend, because you're just sitting there. We're so conditioned for 5.5 months of just having football, whether it be Monday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and then it's just gone. So we're looking for something to satisfy the itch. Of course, college basketball, NBA, and you can find all our betting experts over at VSiN to check those out. But right now we're talking Super Bowl. I've got a couple of props as well. We'll go back and forth on those. Just quickly on the number. Really haven't had any movement. 4.5. We are showing Pinnacle 5, a couple of 5s, but 45.5. So we got here Thursday sharp money. It's now Monday sharp money, and we're exactly the same.
Not a lot going on. You mentioned there are a couple 5s in the market, 1 at South Point, 1 at Pinnacle. We see that the 4.5s getting a little juiced. So we are seeing some Seattle money, but not a wave of respected money yet, which would move this line a point and a half. If you look at the total, you mentioned we're at 45.5. The total has been more contested. This opened at 46.5. Got bet down to 45 yesterday. Now we're starting to see a little bit of that action back onto the over here to the 45.5 number. So it looks like there's a little fight in the total. The side, I think we're going to still see Seahawks action. If you want to bet the Seahawks, I think 4.5 is probably the best number you're going to get. I don't think we ever see a 4.
Yeah, I totally agree. If they are starting to push up that total a little bit, I will wait. Love to get a 46.5, obviously. Would still bet the under 45.5. Feel very comfortable and doing so as far as the under. But let's we'll get to the side in total here in a bit. But let's do some props here as we are getting a little bit closer. We have seen the market kind of mature a little bit. And one that we've been kind of obsessed with, 2 of them, rushing. One being Drake May and the other being Kenneth Walker. Where are we sitting? I think we're closer to 40 with May on rush number.
Yeah, Drake May just keeps ticking up little by little. And we talked about this, man. We were expecting a move on Drake May at some point. Now we're sitting at 38.5, 39.5. It was 37.5 when we did it last time. You're seeing now 40 plus at plus 107 on Drake May. I think we're still going to see a concerted move because we don't have all of the public money in. And one of the most popular public props is going to be Drake May rushing. I can tell you that right now. That's why we saw the professional move early. You're going to see a public move, and maybe you're going to see some buyback. I wouldn't be shocked if some people specifically set this up and said, I'll take all the 30.5, 29.5 I can get. I will let this get bet out, and then I'll take all the under 42.5 I can get and have a 12-yard middle here on Super Bowl Sunday. On the Walker side, he has just been plummeting, right? We opened 79.5, 75.5. Now we're at 72.5. There's a 71.5 in the market. So almost a what is that? Almost a 10% adjustment, 12% adjustment on the Kenneth Walker rushing yards number. And it doesn't feel like we've found the floor quite yet, Patrick, because it keeps going down a yard almost every single day.
Yeah, it's a good recap. I'll actually throw a rush prop at you. We can go back and forth with a few props here. Sharp money, of course, VSiN, the sports betting network. And I got Shahid. You can go 5+, laying $116. Or if you wanted to ladder it a bit, you could go up. You could go 10+, almost +170. I just expect Kubiak's going to be on his way out, and on his way out, he's going to empty his trick bag. He loves Shahid. Shahid, of course, had a rush last week, had 2 rushes against San Francisco. I expect in the biggest game of the year, the most explosive offensive weapon for Seattle to be used at least once on the ground, and I just got a clear five. So I do like Shahid over the five.
I was on the Shahid over in the Rams game, and I was bummed when he got 0 yards on that one carry. But you're right. Like the workload is going to be there. I would almost guarantee he gets one carry in this game. And if you can find an over half a carry, I'd rather bet that than the yardage. To your point, though, on the ladders, so he has gotten a carry in all but three games since coming to Seattle. Yeah. In four of those games, he has gone over the five-yard total. Three of those four totals were 27, 20, and 31. So just flew way over it. So you're almost saying if it's a successful run, you could probably go up to like 15 and still feel pretty comfortable. I wouldn't be shocked if he got two carries in this game, but this brings me to another prop I want to talk to you about. Total number of carry players in the game to receive a carry. 7.5. So let's
Walker, Stevenson, May, Henderson, Darnold is 5.
Right. And
Shahid is 6.
There have been no one but the two running backs, Henderson and Stevenson and May, who's carried the football in the playoffs. So they are 3, and I think that's a pretty safe lock in. Are there 5 Seahawks that get a carry? Do you get one, an AJ Barner tush push? Because that feels like that is the tipping point on this bet. So there's two ways I want to talk about this. First off, I kind of like the under because you're not guaranteed that Helani and Shahid get carries, right? The other part of it is if you want to bet the over, you can get AJ Barner over a half yard rushing at +110. To me, he is the tipping point of this bet. I would rather go and play him over a half yard where then you don't need anything else to happen. But if he gets that carry, that's how you're probably going to go from 7 to 8 rushers.
And so what's the under on 7.5? Because I like the under.
-115 both ways.
I like the under.
It's an interesting one.
It's a very good one. Where can you find that?
That one is available at both FanDuel and DraftKings.
That's a good one.
Can I give you one more on that,
yeah,
that same blush? Players to record a reception in the game. 13.5. I love the under on this one. Now, let me give you the reasoning behind it. It's at -115 as well. Only 7 players on Seattle have had a target in the playoffs. Just 7 have had a target.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Bobo has one catch. Shahid has one catch. And you think, oh, Shahid, he's going to get a catch. He's had like 4 or 5 catchless games for Seattle. And his targets are not high-quality targets. They're deep balls. So there is a world where we're talking about 5 guys catching a pass for Seattle. Even if all 7 catch one, then you need 7 pass catchers from New England as well. It's not a Seattle team that can go to 8 or 9 pass catchers. To me, that's a great one to look at the under there. Because I was shocked.
That is interesting.
Yep. How condensed, when you look up the Seattle Seahawks wide receivers, when you look at their stats in the playoffs and the target share, JSN obviously leading them with 16 targets. Cooper Kupp has 11, so 22% target share. Kenneth Walker there has 7. After that, it's 3s, 4s, 5s. Like, it's not anyone else who's really getting it outside of those big 3. So I think that one's an under there on players to record a reception at 13.5, -115.
So go under on that. All right, throw me another one. I like these.
So this is kind of correlated to that under. Because I dived in and I figured out, I was looking at that, at specifically how condensed that receiving chart is for Seattle. What about Kenneth Walker over a half yards receiving first quarter at +116? He has gone over that total in both playoff games. I don't expect Helani to get a lot of work in the first quarter. And you just need one reception for 1 yard to go over that total.
What? Oh, you only need... They have to use Walker. First off, you know Walker is going to be in there. He is just going to be the primary back the whole entire time. And Kubiak loves the little screens. Yeah, absolutely.
Again, with the target share of those 3 guys getting just the lion's share, 50 targets in the playoffs, those 3 players have gotten 34 of the 50 targets. There's just not... They are the 3 key ones. So Cooper Kupp, first quarter receiving yards, over 2.5.
Yep.
If New England's plan is I'm going to stop JSN and you've got Kupp and Walker, like they're going to be the ones who are benefiting from this. I like Cooper Kupp over 2.5 yards first quarter. And I like over 32 and a half reception yards for the game because of the it's funny. I dove into number of players with a reception and came up with three other bets.
No, it's the correlative aspect of it where, and that's actually a pretty tremendous teaching moment where it used to be just a correlation. You go favorites overs, you know, dogs unders, but they're with so many props becoming so much more prolific. There's so many correlative opportunities associated with that. I'm going to give a very popular, just a popular one on the podcast just so people can shoot for it if you're interested in having a little fun, and that's Drake May on completions. I got him under 20, and trust me, I understand. First off, the Patriots have success running the football, probably not going to have that success against Seattle, going to be forced to throw the football in the second half. But even when May has been forced to throw the football, 20 completions have been hard to come by is really what it comes down to. And I just think this is next level as far as defense. We've been talking about how good this defense is. Again, we can get to our picks coming up here in just a bit. We'll get to them on Thursday, actually, on side and total. I'm every way that I try to build a case for New England, I find a superior team coming back the other way. So I do like May to go under 20 plus completions.
You can get that a little plus money right now as well. That's sitting.
You got to lay buck 27 on the over 20 plus.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can find a plus 110 there coming back the other way on the under completions there. His attempts prop is at 31. I kind of agree with you from a game state perspective. It feels like this is going to be a New England team that kind of tries to come out, run the football, doesn't have a ton of success. The way you lose that bet is they're having to chuck it around the yard in the second half. That would be the one concern with it. But there are ways to cover yourself if you're if you have Seattle alts and you have him under completions. That's the kind of a correlated play where, like, you know, if he is chucking it around, then Seattle's probably up a bunch of points. So you can find ways to kind of make sure that you're hedging yourself based on the overall game state that you expect. I think Drake May, isn't rocket science. May and Darnold protecting the football, to me, is what I keep coming back to being the key to this football game. Drake May will be under pressure. He is going to get sacked multiple times. That's 5 sacks in every single game. By the way, did you see this? Number of sacks in the game by both teams combined, over under 5.5. Drake May has been sacked 5 times in every one of the playoff games, and Seattle's pass rush is not a bad pass rush. I agree with you.
I'll give 4 to Seattle.
And Darnold, he doesn't mind taking sacks. And
both of them dropped the football. Darnold was just notorious for dropping the football in the backfield early in his career. Maybe cleaned it up a little bit as he's gotten older, but both dropped the football.
Hey, he does lead the NFL in turnovers with 20.
balls, so there you go.
So maybe he hasn't cleaned that up very much. But those are all sacks, by the way. If they just strip the football, that is a strip sack. That counts as one for whatever your bet is there. So I do like over 5.5.
Yeah, I do like that a lot.
Can I peel that one into another one that I think is fun?
Sure.
All right. Dexter Lawrence. A lot of people talking about him. I've seen people go MVP. I've seen people talk about his sack prop, and we will mention his sack prop here. Over 0.25 sacks, minus 101. One plus sack, plus 125. In 2 playoff games, he has 3 sacks, 2 in the first round, 1 in the second round. But I want to take it a step further, Patrick. I want to try and find the big old plus money ones. How about this? We talked about Drake May. He doesn't mind fumbling the football, right?
Mm-mm.
Strip sack.
Scoop and score?
11-1. Strip sack, 11-1. Strip sack with recovery, 75-1. Any interest?
Lawrence strip sack, recovers the fumble, 75-1?
75-1.
It's a nice price, Mike.
Isn't it? Like, I was like looking around on some of these. I'm like, wait a second. He has, by the way, a strip sack in both playoff games. That is 11-1.
And we just talked about the propensity of both these quarterbacks. You just mentioned Darnold leading the league. Yeah, that is tremendous. That's like, that reminds me of your, what's the one that hit? Did we get the defensive scores on both games a couple rounds
ago? No, we got one. We didn't get the second one. Well, Houston had so many chances and they couldn't get us the defensive score against New England. But we got the Seattle one on the kick return. That was 35-1.
That you mentioned Lawrence, he is where is he sitting? 70-90-1 somewhere in there to win the MVP.
Yeah, that's a big number. Probably like would probably need to strip sack recover touchdown to be able to win the MVP. Yeah. Like, you'd have to add another qualifier.
And you'd
there.
Have to see terrible offensive play from everybody.
You'd probably need a down game from JSN. You'd probably need a down game from Darnold. But I do think there's at least a little fun there. Strip sack 11-1, strip sack with recovery. He, by the way, didn't recover either of the two fumbles, so did not do that in either two games. But that one's 75-1 as well. Little pizza money, little fun Dexter Lawrence bet. Everyone's talking about the sack. I think I'll take a little bit, little one step further on that one. From an MVP front, has your thought process changed? Is this still Darnold? Is this still May? Do you think there are other routes, other directions to go?
I mean, the only other two. Obviously, they put the two, JSN and Kenneth Walker, 5.5-1 on JSN, 6.5-1 on Walker. I'd almost, before I go wide receivers or running backs, I'd almost rather take a shot with the defensive player. We have seen defensive players win the MVP. But at this point, you're 34, 35 out of the Super Bowls played are going to be quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So I'd either go quarterback or I'd start looking for the price.
Just go bombs away.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like if it's bombs away, it is probably someone on Seattle. Maybe Ernest Jones. He's going to be one that's not talked about a bunch, 75-1. He's been able to intercept footballs. He's a linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks. Drake May has almost thrown a pick to linebackers in the last two games. If he has one of those over the middle, that can be one where he might be able to take it back. Like,
you know, Shaheed's interesting, Mike, just because of the specials.
That I made this case with Matt Brown. Like, what if he scores two touchdowns? But he has a kick return for a touchdown and a run for a touchdown.
Yeah, he's 30-1. That's quite juicy.
He can get in the end zone, and this is the JSN problem for me. He can get in the end zone without Sam Darnold. He has other routes to be able
That's
to be
point.
Successful. And JSN probably needs what? Like, he had 150 and a tutty in the NFC title game. Sam Darnold would have won MVP. What does he need to do? Probably two touchdowns and around $150 to get the job done?
Yeah. No, I love Shaheed. Have you officially made a bet on MVP?
No, I have not bet MVP
yet.
Me neither. It would be Darnold for me, and I don't at +120, it's not something I'm like, I would rather just take his over passing yards and two plus touchdowns, and you can get +164 on that. So I'd rather play a low game and just take a better price.
Let me throw one that's obviously very popular with casual bettors at you, but just because the number jumped out at me. I felt like last year we were 2.5-1 on successful two-pointer. Mm-hmm. This year it's 3-1. Obviously, increased popularity of going for it. We've had 5 successful two-pointers in the last 9, a couple last year. But the 3-1 is what stood out to me because that, what does that imply? 25% chance. So mm-hmm. if a team goes for it already, you're at a 53% success rate. So I think at 3-1, as opposed to 2, I'll have to look. I thought it was 2.5-1 last year because we talked about it incessantly. At 3-1, where are you on successful two-pointer?
Super so it has to be successful.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So that means... Okay, so let's say there's one of every 2 games you get a try. One of every 2 of those are successful. So you need about, you'd have to say it's about a 50% chance that they're going to try a 2-point conversion this game. I think that's high. I bet the true odds are closer to 4-1. I can see why people are betting it and why the books are put up. But I think the true odds
guy.
Are closer to like 4.5-1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's why I asked.
Another one that that gets talked about a lot is the first touchdown score. Have you looked at any of the touchdown markets inside this game? Is there anything interesting to you there?
A little bit. Touchdown scores, first to score, Jackson Smith +155. What was the one that jumped out at you?
So I wanted to mention this because I found something that I hadn't necessarily seen before in the markets. So they have first touchdown score. They also have touchdown score in the first quarter. Okay. And the prices are almost identical. So that means if Seattle goes down and scores a touchdown and you played someone on New England, that player can still score in the first quarter and you win your bet.
Right.
So like we've talked about this for a long time. I had never seen first quarter touchdown scores before. I wanted to make sure I mentioned this because like Jackson Smith and Jigba +550 first touchdown score.
Yeah, I'm looking at this anytime touchdown first quarter. That's interesting.
It's basically a minimal discount. And so that to me is another way where if you want to play first touchdown score, at least look at that market, because it gives you an out if you don't get the football first, or if you don't score that first touchdown and it goes back and forth.
Hunter Henry 14-1, Drake May 15-1. Interesting. So not much, just a little bit of a discount.
So I thought that was at least interesting to look at because it's something that's different. I'm glad you mentioned Hunter Henry. The one thing the Seattle defense has struggled in is covering tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, like, the, to me, there are two strengths that New England has: passing the tight end, stopping the run. It feels like Hunter Henry is one of those guys that has to have a big game if New England is close in this football game.
Totally agree. Are you doing anything with Hunter Henry?
I am going to play over his passing prop. I might put together, like, okay, let's say the Patriots do win this football game and play a little same game parlay with that style, where you go Darnold interception, Patriots money line, Hunter Henry anytime touchdown, Hunter Henry over his receiving props, and you just kind of have a little bit of fun with it, right? To have the contrarian view to what I actually think is going to happen, just in case that I'm completely wrong. I've got the one complete, Mike's completely wrong ticket in the account.
And where is he sitting? Right around 40, Hunter Henry?
Hunter Henry's receiving prop is currently sitting at 39.5. Very good job by you, Patrick.
I like it. You mentioned that is the one thing. We call it struggling. we're picking hairs, or whatever they say, pulling hairs to talk about the struggle on defense. We're nitpicking to talk about the struggle on defense from Seattle. But yeah, over the middle with the tight ends, targets do end up doing okay.
One more prop for you. Field goals made in the game. Total field goals in the game. I like the over 3.5. -110. So this is by both teams. Both field goal kickers are minus money to go to kick two. So Jason Myers is -195 to have two field goals. Borgalis -129 to have two field goals. Yet four field goals in the game is -110. I'll go ahead and take over 3.5. Also, by the way, this is one of those for everyone out there betting, like, there'll be 1.5 or more fourth down conversions. Seattle's yet to go for it in the playoffs on fourth down. This is not a overly aggressive offensive team on fourth downs unless they have to be. They will take the points.
Did they prop a field goal attempt? I'm trying to taking a look right now. No.
No, I don't see attempts. I just see makes.
Okay.
You got kicking like points. But yeah, I like over 3.5 for the game. Field goals.
Beautiful.
Made.
Is that it for you on the props on a Monday? We'll come back on Thursday with our official plays on the side in total as well.
Yep, that's all the fun ones that I found over the last weekend or so. Like, again, have not bet them all. I'm going to bet the Dexter Lawrence strip sack. I'm going to bet the Dexter Lawrence strip sack recovery. I actually legitimately like the Cup and Walker first quarter receiving yards props. And I'm going to definitely bet the under 13.5 receptions, players to have a reception, and the over 3.5 field goals in the game.
Beautiful. We should give credit. We're going to do a little hockey, but we should give credit to Samo here because we talked about that alternative bet on the Bucks on their season win total. Without Giannis, they are by far and away the worst team in the NFL, and the books agreed because they took down your number.
Yeah, it's not been a great week for the Bucks. The Bulls now, apparently, according to the prediction markets, your favorite in these, but the loss to the Wizards, loss to the Celtics. Since we last discussed this, the 30.5 turned to 29.5, and now it is down everywhere because they don't know where to put this number. It should be like 24.5, 25.5, and they just mispriced it. So congrats to everybody who got a piece out there. I don't bet the NBA a lot, but when I find something like that, to me, it's one you got to kind of jump all over.
Yeah, I think, and that's a good transition into betting the NHL. Look, I understand that a lot of people do very well. I think it'd be harder in modernity to be betting the NBA, whether it be sides or totals. We know people that have made a lot of money betting the NBA in the past, but things have changed. You're trying to, when you go into a bet, you're already at a disadvantage because you got a tax. You're also trying to eliminate variables. And the unknown is certainly prevalent in the NBA. A lesser unknown is what you're getting day to day in the NHL. So we love betting the NHL. We have a great thread going for the NHL. It is almost jarring. You'll turn on an NBA game on a Tuesday randomly here in February and then flip over and turn on a random Tuesday night NHL game. And one looks a little bit closer to a playoff simulation, and the other looks like a joke in an exhibition. The one that's closer to the playoff would be the NHL.
Yeah, look, you don't have to worry about motivation, effort in the NHL. Like, you're going to get obviously you're going to get dull efforts sometimes, but for the most part, you are never going to get a sleepy hockey team. You're going to get them trying to go all out. And if they do have a sleepy period, you're going to see a response usually in the second period. The injuries, like to me, the reason I struggle betting the NBA, I want to get in front of the number. You can't bet the NBA the night before. You just can't. Like, you don't know who's going to play. And with the NHL, the number one thing that's going to adjust a number that you're not going to know about is goalies. Goalies are predictive. You can go in and you can say it's second night of a back-to-back. The starter played the first night. It's going to be the backup the second night. You can even go in and say it's the first night of the back-to-back. They've got a rival the second night. It's going to be the backup the first night. And you can try and get ahead of those numbers. You can't do that anymore in the NBA because we just don't know what's happening. And then on top of it, the three-point variance to me is just wildly frustrating. Because you could bet the best team in the NBA, the other team shoots 43s, hits 52% of them, and you're cooked.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just not
gameplay. No, the actual simulation of the gameplay is so much easier to handicap in the NHL. Couple of things to look for. First off, verify starting goaltender. I'm going to have a cap that will actually accentuate what we're talking about. NHL, much better at reporting injuries, much sooner on it. Rest advantage. Always important, obviously, NHL in terms of ROI. 3+ days rest versus a tired team, super successful. I'm just giving you a few basics. A rested home team has been tremendously successful ROI. Third game in 4 nights, you go down. Obviously, back-to-back, a home team actually struggles in that second night. So these are things you have to look for as far as betting the NHL. A lot of it comes down to, just like any other sport, rest.
Yeah, there's also long travel trips in the NHL. When you have an East Coast team having to go West, they'll usually go out and play 7 or 8 games on the West Coast because they have to play everybody in the Western Conference once on the road. So you'll have these California/Western Canada trips. The first game back, teams really struggle when they go back to the East Coast because they get back home after a 2-week trip. It's just not easy. It's just, we've seen it in the NBA too, and in Major League Baseball. When you're away for a long time, you go back, that first game's always a struggle. That to me is another one you can kind of focus on there in the NHL.
And there is, it's legit, specifically on those Sunday matinee games, the road team in Vegas and in New York City. They call it the Vegas flu, but it is legitimate. It is not great, as opposed to one team, the VGK, and then, of course, the Rangers being conditioned to that type of vibe. So look out for those teams when they travel.
Yeah, that's there are certain cities where people have a little more fun, Patrick.
But we should also mention that the tax that you're going to pay if you're listening to Sharp Money in Jersey, you're going to pay a tax on the doubles. You're going to pay a tax on the Rangers. If you're listening in Vegas, you are going to pay a surplus on VGK. This is very much regional.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And you'll see some of those books have different prices in different markets. So just pay attention to where you're betting and how you're betting and take advantage of that bias. Maybe you're not a Devils fan in New Jersey. Bet against them, right? Just lean the other direction, and it'll work out for you long term there because you're always going to get a better price.
And you'll find a 6.5 at one book and a 6 at another book.
Yeah, that's the other part that's become interesting in the NHL is that for a lot of people that don't understand how analytics have crept into the game, you now see a much more high-paced hockey game. You no longer have instigators, really. You don't have that fourth line that's just bruisers. They're talented. They can move. And more than anything else, pulling the goalie at the end of games has become something where you're going to see it where, like, when I was growing up in the 90s, 1 minute, that's when you pulled your goalie. Patrick Waugh's pulling his goalie 5 minutes in games. Like,
totally.
He's like, I don't care. I want longer to be able to score because what happens if you run out of time, if you pull him with a minute, is you lose the game. What happens if you pull him with 5 minutes and you get 2 minutes of chances and then they score an empty net goal is you lose the game. Mm-hmm. It's fine, right? You might as well take more opportunity to try and go out there and get that goal with your goalie pulled and 6-on-5 advantage. So that has forced totals up as well because you'll see as many as 4 goals in the last 4 minutes because of empty nets and scoring 6-on-5. It can be chaotic at the end of games.
Yep, 100%. And you will see a variance from book to book on totals being posted as well. So important to shop for the best number. And with that, we're going to have some fun with the Eastern Conference because if you haven't been following the West and the NHL in general, the West is by far and away the conference that matters the most. So top heavy. frankly, probably deeper as well. So we'll have some fun. I want to give an individual play for tonight, Mike, and get your take on it. That is the Islanders at the Caps. And I do like the Islanders at a plus price tonight. The Caps, their last two wins have been overtime winners against the Red Wings and Hurricanes. They were down 3-0 to the Hurricanes. Before that, the Caps have been playing dreadfully. The Islanders is a team that I actually know you like. Mm-hmm. And the Islanders will be taking on the Caps' third string goaltender, Clay Stevenson, tonight. So I do like the Islanders on the road, plus 112-ish against the third string goalie for the Caps.
Yeah, I don't mind that one at all. Very, very defensively sound Islanders team. They're successful away from home. I'm going to say just their record with the overtime games, including losses. They're 15-13 on the road. So you know, obviously, if they lose in overtime, you lose your bet. So that's the relevant number here. But the key is your point. It's Stevenson getting a second start of the season. Both Logan Thompson as well as Charlie Lindgren, both on the IR. One of them got actually injured at the end of an overtime and stayed in for the shootout. They won that game. It is a Caps team that needs points.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree with you. I think this Islanders team is just a better team. And the advantage between Sorokin and Stevenson in net is massive for the Islanders. So at a plus price, I agree with you. Islanders here, plus 110. Let's lock it up.
The East is fascinating because, and Mike is a hockey savant as well as the horse racing. But you're not going to bet Carolina because you're not going to get a price on them. And outside of Carolina, Tampa Bay, you can really start taking shots in the East.
Well, my reason I think the East is really bettable is twofold. First off, if you followed any of our content last year, Carolina's not a good playoff team. They're just mm-hmm. not. They don't score enough goals. They tried to address it. They haven't been able to. They're great defensively,
yeah.
But then they ran into Florida, and it was hilarious. I don't remember who they played in the second round last year, but we hammered Carolina and then turned around and hammered Florida in the next round.
Style.
Look, the plus 205 is way too short. The other problem here is the Panthers. The Panthers are plus 700. At some point, we need to sound the alarm bells, Patrick, because right now the Panthers are plus 115 to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they're the third choice to win the Eastern Conference. Right now they have 59 points. You need 67 right now to get into the playoffs. They need to make up 8 points in the final 30 games of this season. That's not easy to do. And I get it. It's a good team. They haven't been playing like it. So to me, there are two takeout reducers here in the Panthers and the Hurricanes. I think that means that you can have a little bit of fun here. And if you want to take a couple shots in the East, look, I like Tampa. But like at 2-1, it's a little bit too short. I wouldn't mind taking a shot with a much bigger price here because hockey playoffs do have a little bit of variance, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. And 25-1, we're staring at a team that I'm betting tonight. I believe you might be interested in. That is the Islanders.
I don't mind the Islanders at all to win. Like again, you got Sorokin in net. You have a really good young core on the defensive side. They're a little inexperienced, but again, at the price at 25-1. It's not crazy. I mean, you're going to be happy about this one. It might be a year. I don't hate your Wings. Your Wings, they're at least frisky. They get the Canadiens right now in round one, but they're probably going to get the Canadian Sabres or Bruins because it's a little bit of a mismatch. In the NHL, for anyone who's not listening or doesn't know, top three in each division and then two wild cards. Those wild cards can come from the same division or one from each. And then your 2-3 in each division play each other. The Wings probably going to be the 2 in the Atlantic division. So they'll face the 3 in the Atlantic division where there's currently a 3-team race.
It would very much be, it would have a feel of the Patriots making a run to the Super Bowl.
It's fair.
If the Red Wings won the East, because it does feel like it's a year. They're so much better than they were last year, so I give them so much credit. But I watch a lot of the Wings. I'd be surprised if they made it out of the East. Not shocked. I do like the 25-1 on the Islanders, more of a veteran team over the 18-1 on the Red Wings. Quickly out West, Colorado's 1.5, so plus 150. VGK is a plus 360. Edmonton's 5-1. It's probably the team I'd stay away from. I know Mike likes the Edmonton Oilers traditionally. 7-1 on the Stars and then 8-1 on the Wild. We'd be shocked after we got past those five. And I know it's not shocking in the NHL, but I'd be shocked if one of those five didn't come out of the West.
I would too. To me, it's at the prices, the Wild. Look, Colorado is clearly the best team in hockey.
Oh my goodness. One
clearly.
Of the best we've seen regular season wise ever.
So if you want to bet the short price here, I think it's a little short. I think you should probably be like 225, but 150, like, it's not ridiculously off. If I got kooky, it'd be the Kings at 20-1.
Hmm.
The Kings aren't in the playoffs yet, but they're chasing the Ducks and the Sharks. I think one of them is going to give up a one-point lead that they have on the Kings at some point. And it's the Kings have a complete team. They just haven't played that well yet this year.
The Kings, when they're at their best, they're so good defensively, they can beat anybody.
Correct. And that's why, like, if you want to make a case around them at 20-1 to win the East, I don't, or West, I don't mind that. But it to me is Avs and, or I'm sorry, it's the Avs at plus 150. If I was going to take a longer shot, the Wild would be next at 8-1 and then the Kings at 20-1.
And we've given up on your St. Louis Blues?
Oh, we gave up on the Blues a long time ago, Patrick. We're going to be sellers at the deadline. We're gonna go back into the rebuild tent, which is frustrating because last year we probably should have won in round one, but blew a 2-goal lead in game 7 to Winnipeg. And
yeah.
Now a year later, we're not going to make the playoffs, and we're going to go and, I don't know, ship out Bennington. Just get rid of him.
It's crazy how the fate of an organization, that was such a late goal from Winnipeg at home in game 7 as well. Wasn't it force overtime?
Two empty netters. They pulled their goalie, scored twice, and then won in double overtime.
It was playoff hockey.
I have never been more certain the St. Louis Blues were going to lose in overtime as soon as they scored the second goal. I'm just like, why am I even watching?
No.
I know the result. I know what's happening.
I've been there. Trust me. And there is one thing about the NHL and hockey. It is not enjoyable to watch if you like a team when it's the postseason, when it becomes sudden death. That is not a fun experience. If your team wins, it's the most exhilarating thing you've ever experienced. But as a Red Wings fan growing up, when we go to sudden death, there's nothing fun about that.
No, pacing is involved. Like, I start walking around, like, back and forth.
Oh,
like, it's just, I can't sit still. It's just, it's not enjoyable unless it's really enjoyable. And the end result defines whether or not that previous hour was fun or not.
Before we get out of here, remember the Super Bowl is coming and we've got a super deal over at VSiN. You can save $60 right now, but you're not just going to get all of the great picks. And I've seen some of the write-ups. This is such a tremendous year for props, sides, totals in the Super Bowl. But you're also going to get the horse racing from Mike. You're going to get the NHL every single day. You're going to get the NBA college basketball. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SHARP. And when you do, you're going to save $60. Before we say goodbye, speaking of which, we did a little horse racing with Ned Toffee last week. Anything change on the Derby preps coming into and out of this weekend?
So we had a big win by nearly down at Gulfstream Park in the Holy Bull. He was 28-1 heading into the race. Ends up 10-1 is your second choice now in the Kentucky Derby. We'll talk a little bit more on Thursday about props. So yes, we'll be focused on Super Bowl. Don't you worry. But we have prep races on Friday, on Saturday this weekend. So up at Aqueduct on Friday, Oakland on Friday also has a prep race because of weather. They canceled last weekend. We've got Tampa Bay down on Saturday too. So we got prep races all over the country. We'll kind of jump into some of those. And if we really like any horses, we'll give them a shout out here so you can bet those horses and then talk about the Derby odds and how that could be affected by those 2 days of racing.
Yeah, I downloaded VSiN at the Track. You can find VSiN at the Track with Samich and Halterman wherever you download your podcast. To me, it is by far and away the best podcast talking horse racing. And this weekend was specifically listening while I was watching because I'm an above average horse racing person, but I would imagine even average horse racing fans are now starting to be like, oh, let me go see where we're at with the sport.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting into the grind here. And the Ted Noffey thing, I likened it to Forte exiting the Derby, right? Or you could even go back to like Omaha Beach. He was going to be the favorite the first Saturday in May.
Yeah.
Unless something drastic happened, he comes back, doesn't, like, runs terribly twice, he was going to be the favorite in the Derby. And that leaves this Derby field absolutely wide open. It's why you see a horse go from 28-1 to 10-1 in fixed odds markets. It's available over at Caesars if you're looking for a fixed odds Derby market. And in one race. It's the first time the horse ever went two turns. Yet we're going to make him the second favorite in the Derby now because we don't know who is going to actually be good. By the way, Bob Baffert also debuted a horse, cost 2.4 million,
Santa
I think
Anita.
It was, at Santa Anita. He looked awesome. His name is Potente. So that's another one to keep an eye out there over at Santa Anita. Patante for Bob Baffert, who won going away in a nice maiden special weight race.
All right, great job. VSiN at the track again to make sure you check that out. And Super Bowl programming, Mike and Matt will be on. We've got a tremendous lineup on VSiN. I mean, I think it's like 18 hours of coverage for Super Bowl Sunday. You guys are going to be live. Go to VSiN.com/newsletter. That's kind of the place, the hub, to figure out everything you need to know as far as programming, even some free picks in there as well. VSiN.com/newsletter. Enter your email address. We'll end it here. We're going to try to make these a little bit snappier, a little shorter, hit you with them, come in, don't waste your time, get a couple of plays. Anything else on the way out here, Mike?
Nothing else. Make sure you do check out. We're going to be live during the big game. We'll be live the half hour before it starts as well. So last minute Super Bowl opinions, last minute Super Bowl bets. Make sure you tune into VSiN there, either on your Watch app, channel 158 on SiriusXM or YouTube TV, and get those last minute Super Bowl bets right before the kickoff. And leave us on as the audio during your Super Bowl.
Yeah,
party,
yeah, yeah.
Right? That, then you'll get, we're going to talk in-game bets. We're going to talk in-game touchdown bets. Don't worry about everyone else there who wants to hear Tony Romo or Tom Brady or whoever the heck's going on. Trust me, we're better than them. Do you want to stick with VSiN?
Yeah, it's going to be NBC this year. So what, it's going to be Collinsworth and Tirico? But that can be laborious. Yes. The Super Bowl broadcast can be laborious. Go join the
Collinsworth.
Oh, my. Oh, that's pretty good. That's a Canadian Collinsworth.
Yeah, that is. I just don't often throw the Canadian in there.
All right, that's Sharp Money. We'll see you Thursday.